Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And, Dad, last time we heard from two people who spoke at last year's National Day of Prayer in Washington, D.C.
I mentioned yesterday that I think this is one of the most inspiring of all the 22 years of National Day of Prayer events that I've heard since my wife Shirley assumed the leadership as chairman of the National Day of Prayer.
Well, if Pat Boone and Chaplain Black had any indication of what was going on, it was a powerful gathering.
It was all day long like that, one right after another. It was not a conference. It was not a place where you came to learn a lot. It was a place of prayer where we came together to pray for our nation's capital. And what we're going to hear today first is some very cogent remarks by Admiral William Dean Lee, who is an admiral in the Coast Guard. And he was talking about his great concern about what is happening in this country, and especially in the military, with regard to religious liberty and the effort to stifle those who are not only chaplains, but those who are officers in the Pentagon and throughout the military. I'm telling you, it is a serious problem. And Admiral Lee came with fire in the belly. I mean, military officers, especially senior officers, are not typically willing to take a stand on issues because they can be mustered out quickly. Listen to the passion of this man as he got up to speak about something that emanates from his soul.
To put this in context, I want you to know right up front that I'm not a chaplain. I wouldn't even describe myself as a religious man. I'm nothing more than a sinner in a sailor suit. But I am a man of deep and abiding faith. A man of faith who happens to be wearing a uniform. And it is my honor to stand up here before you today representing the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen, the Marines, and the Coast Guardsmen who have put on the cloth of our nation to serve their country. Thank you. I am not worthy of the honor to represent these fine men and women. Thank you. Thank you. The average American sitting in their armchair this evening watching the evening news will have little knowledge that the 317 million fellow citizens that occupy the United States of America have less than 1% of that population wearing the uniform. If you add up all the men and women who have stepped up and volunteered to serve our nation right now, who are on active duty in any of the five branches of the military, it is less than 1% of the total population. If you add up all of the men and women who have ever served in the military, wearing the cloth for any length of time, whether it be 2 years or 32 years, that sum total would add up to a little less than 8% of our population. That person sitting in an armchair watching the news tonight will have little knowledge that every day, if the statistics hold true for the last 4 years, one or more of them will be killed in a mission-related accident or mishap in combat. 10 or more will be seriously wounded, many losing limbs, being disfigured, burnt, scarred, maimed, disfigured for the rest of their lives. And here's a statistic that should ring your bell. one of them on any given day is likely to commit suicide. Last year, 349 active duty members killed themselves. Each and every day of the week. In fact, every 65 minutes, a veteran who has served his country commits suicide. That is a rate 300% greater per capita than the national norm. The one thing all of these men and women have in common is that they all stepped up and volunteered. They did not have to do it. They are willing to go into harm's way, whether it be on patrol in Afghanistan or going out in the dark and stormy seas off of Kodiak, Alaska, to rescue a fisherman in distress. They are willing to put their lives on the line. There is no other business quite like that of the United States Military Armed Forces. I ask that you pray for them. I ask that you pray for their leaders. Right now, as we speak, leaders like myself are feeling the constraints of rules and regulations and guidance issued down by lawyers, and that puts us in a tighter and tighter box regarding our constitutional right to express our religious faith. As one general so aptly put it, they expect us to check our religion in at the door. Don't bring that here. Leave that business to the chaplains. I'm here to tell you there's not enough chaplains to go around. Yet if I do something, such as I did just several weeks ago when I was looking into the face of a young man, 20-some years old, who had 18 months before put a gun to his head and pulled the trigger and survived. When I looked at that young man and I heard his story, the rules say, send him to the chaplain. My heart said, give this man a Bible. Every 65 minutes, a veteran pulls the trigger or takes their own life. And the problem that men and women like me face in uniform who are in senior leadership positions is that the higher you are, the more vulnerable you are to being taken down. You get in the crosshairs of those people who lay in wait outside the gate, waiting to take us to task for expressing our faith. For so much as whispering to a young man who is on his last hope that there is hope, that I can just simply whisper, and here is the answer. Take it home. I'll talk about it if you want. The lawyers tell me that if I do that, I'm crossing the line. I'm so glad I have crossed that line so many times. Trying to be brief. There are two places in the Bible where it says that Jesus was amazed. One is that the faith of the centurion, a simple soldier, a leader of men. And the other was that the unbelief of his own townspeople. I am telling you that your own armed forces, the sons and daughters of the men and women like you that are wearing the uniform, there are thousands of them who have the faith of that centurion, yet we are being told to hide that light under a basket. I'm telling you that I am not going to run from my religious freedoms, from my right under the Constitution to tell a young man that there is hope. Please. Thank you. Thank you. Please. Please. I am not worthy of that. I just want to leave you with this. We place great emphasis on leadership. Night before last, I went on the internet. I went on to Amazon.com, and I went into the book section, and I went to their search engine, and I put into that search engine the keyword leadership. And I did a search. I got 91,125 hits on books written on or about leadership. But the best book of leadership was nowhere on that list. The best book of leadership is this book right here, the Holy Bible, the Scriptures, written over the course of 1,400 years or so, because in this book, it teaches you first and foremost how to be a follower. And you cannot be a leader until you know how to follow, and you have got a right and proper moral compass, such as that we read in the Holy Scriptures in the Judeo-Christian system of values. I ask that you, men and women, pray for us. That you will pray that we will be able to weather the storm that I am almost certain will come. That we will not be required to put aside our constitutional rights to express our religious faith. You're likely to see much ado about this in the future. But I leave you with this. This is not a Christian issue. It is not a Jewish issue or a Muslim issue or a Hindu issue. This is an American issue. Pray for you, United States military, and let us take a stand and not run. God bless you all.
Oh, those are some sobering thoughts on this Family Talk broadcast with our guest, Rear Admiral William Dean Lee. And, Dad, it's true. Religious freedom is something every single American should be fighting to protect.
Well, here is one senior officer who had the guts to stand up and say it, to say when a man is hurting, when he is in serious danger, when he's going through difficult times, I will be there to reach out to him spiritually, right. Mm-hmm. And I will continue to do it. I have not heard another do anything quite like that, and it really touched my heart to sit there on the front row and hear this man speak his heart. Now, Ryan, we have a little bit of time left, and I want to address that issue of religious liberty. My August letter talks about this because it's something that I am deeply concerned about. And I want to read just a portion of my letter with the amount of time that we have left. I think it's only 6-7 minutes or something, but people will get the flavor of it.
Well, let's get right into it then.
Dear friends, there's something that I simply must share with you this month. It concerns the moral collapse that we're experiencing as a nation. It has many dimensions, but the aspect that troubles me most is the assault on Christianity and religious liberty orchestrated by the Obama administration and its associates on the far left. Our founding fathers would not have believed a day would come when American citizens would elect a government that is openly hostile to the cause of Christ. It's true. Traditional standards of morality and righteousness are fading away like smoke on a windy afternoon. Rather than trying to explain what's happening to religious liberty in America, it'll become clear by reading an editorial written by Congressman Tim Huelskamp from the 1st District of Kansas. By the way, I had a conversation with him asking for permission to share what he had written, and this is a man who believes in religious liberty. He focuses specifically on what the commander-in-chief and his senior officers are doing to the U.S. military as follows. The editorial is long, and I can only read the examples from within it of assaults on religious liberty, but here are some of them. President Obama is a wartime commander-in-chief. No, I don't mean the obvious, Iraq or Afghanistan. I'm talking about his preferences for waging a race war, a gender war, class warfare, generational warfare, and, with escalating aggression and mounting casualties, a culture war. With the exceptions of free enterprise and traditional marriage, no institution has been more radically transformed by the Obama regime than our armed forces. Given President Obama's notorious contempt for Americans who, quote, cling to their Bibles, and that came from the president, and guns, perhaps we shouldn't be surprised by his administration's hostility to service members who espouse traditional Judeo-Christian beliefs. The persecution of Christians and conservatives has become increasingly brazen and pervasive since the president took office 4.5 years ago. To protect patients from proselytizing or prayer, Walter Reed Army Medical Center banned Wounded Warriors family members from bringing or using Bibles during visits. The Department of Veterans Affairs barred Christian prayers at a national cemetery. The president signed the law that repealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell. The attorney general refused to defend the Defense of Marriage Act in court. A war game scenario at Fort Leavenworth identified evangelical Christian groups as, quote, a national security threat. A field grade officer listed the American Family Association and Family Research Council as, quote, domestic hate groups, end quote, and directed his subordinate officers to monitor soldiers who might be supporters. Evangelist Franklin Graham was uninvited from the Pentagon's National Day of Prayer service. A training exercise funded by the Department of Homeland Security portrayed homeschooling families as domestic terrorists. Last year, and Congressman Huelskamp was speaking personally here, I introduced the Military Religious Freedom Protection Act. The bill requires the military to accommodate service members' moral principles and religious beliefs so long as they don't, quote, threaten good order and discipline, forbids the military from using an individual's beliefs as the basis for an adverse personnel action, and forbids the military from forcing chaplains to perform homosexual marriage ceremonies. My bill's language was included in the National Defense Authorization Act by Congress last December. When President Obama signed it into law, he claimed the conscience protections I authored were unnecessary and ill-advised. That's a quote. But recent events confirm the new law was necessary, was well-advised, and prophetic. These episodes exemplify the new military culture, one that rebukes those who practice Christianity and rewards those who worship at the altar of political correctness. In April, several generals consulted Mikey Weinstein, the anti-Christian zealot dedicated to attacking men and women of any faith, to solicit his help writing Air Force policies concerning religious tolerance. If there's one person whose advice the Pentagon brass should not solicit, it's that of Mr. Weinstein, a man who says the military ranks are full of, quote, Christian fundamentalist monsters, end quote, whose evangelizing constitutes spiritual rape, a national security threat, and sedition and treason. After Weinstein telephoned the Pentagon to complain about a painting displayed at Mountain Home Air Force Base in Idaho, it was removed less than 1 hour later. The painting bore the words integrity and the citation Matthew 5:9. The verse said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." It had to go. These revelations highlight the fact that Obama's war on God-fearing servicemen is not only morally repugnant, but also threatens the long-term soundness of our voluntary military. Who wants to join an organization that increasingly caters to homosexuals and atheists, meanwhile denigrating Christians and traditional marriage? If you care nothing at all about the constitutional free exercise rights of our servicemen, surely you can at least see the dangers to military readiness posed by such harassment and persecution. Now, we don't have the time for me to finish my August letter and more of what Congressman Huelskamp had to say, but I will end with my own comment. Huelskamp's analysis of hostility to people of faith in the military is shocking. It will weaken us as a nation and demoralize those who are fighting to defend our freedoms. A similar article could be written about other dimensions of the religious war. One of them concerns children and what the pagan culture is doing to their understanding of biblical truth. They're being taught that God is irrelevant, discriminatory, and unconstitutional. It has profound implications for their young minds. Ryan, I'll have to stop there, but you get the message. Mm-hmm. When you look at all the illustrations that have been given, and this is just a few of them that are occurring. Yeah. Hundreds of assaults on religious liberty are occurring throughout the culture, mm-hmm. but especially in the military. And Christian people are kind of standing around looking at it and saying, my goodness, that doesn't sound right. Yeah. But what are we doing about it? We'll have to save that for another day, but it's a matter of great concern to me personally and should be to all of our listeners.
I couldn't agree more. The last part of that program was an excerpt from my dad's monthly newsletter from August of last year titled Freedom, Justice, and Religious Liberty for All. And earlier on the broadcast, we heard from Rear Admiral William Dean Lee as he addressed last year's National Day of Prayer audience. To find out more about this program or the upcoming National Day of Prayer, or to read my dad's August newsletter in full, visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Now, sometimes when we talk about where this country is headed, I hear people ask, well, what can I do about it? Well, I urge you to pray. God is in control, but he also asks us to pray. So let us know how you're praying for our country. Tell us about it on our Facebook page or call us 877-732-6825. And you can visit our website and contact us there. While there, look for more information about the National Day of Prayer and for a prayer guide that your family can use. And finally, if you'd like to partner financially with our ministry as we work to point our nation back to its foundation in faith and family, you can donate at drjamesdobson.org via our smartphone app or call us that number one last time, 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan Dobson, and all this month we're giving you the chance to pre-order Godless, the conclusion to the best-selling fiction trilogy by Dr. Dobson and Kurt Bruner. For a suggested donation of $25 or more, we'll send you this highly anticipated follow-up where God's image on Earth is exchanged for the horrors of a godless world. For a suggested donation of $75 or more, we'll send you the entire trilogy, including Fatherless, Childless, and Godless. So call Family Talk today at 877-732-6825 or visit our website at drjamesdobson.org.